Absolutely.
Well, and listen carefully because you're going to have a question and answer time after.
There we go. The fun stuff.
And try as hard as you can to stump him, okay?
Yeah. There we go.
A hard time.
All right. Good morning, church. How are we doing this morning? Doing good. First, just want to thank you guys for allowing me the opportunity to come here and get to share with you a little bit. It really is a pleasure, and especially being able to worship together this morning. Just coming in and speaking in front of large people is definitely something that makes me nervous, but being able to just worship our God together, it kind of just took those nerves away and just reminded of that this is for God's kingdom, that it's nothing for me and nothing about me and nothing special about me, but all glory to God. So when sitting down with Pastor Rob, we talked about me getting the opportunity to share with you guys so you guys can get to know me a little bit more. And so over the next 20, 25 minutes or so, I'm just going to be talking a little bit about my story, my testimony, where I am now, and a little bit on my vision and my heart for youth ministry. So just want to get this pulled up real quick. To kind of start back on my upbringing, where I came from, I was born and raised in a really strong Christian family. And what I mean by strong Christian family is we're a family that was just devoted to living our lives for Jesus. My whole family served in the church. My grandpa was a church planner. He was a pastor for many years. And they went up and planted some churches in Idaho and in Oregon. And then they settled back down in Southern California. And they settled in a rather large church. It was probably a membership around 2,000, 3,000 people. So we pretty much call that a mega church. And so that's where I grew up in. And even though my family was all involved, my grandpa, he was a pastor on staff at this church. He led men's Bible studies. My grandma led women's Bible studies. One of my aunts was the children's director of a really large children's ministry. My parents, my mom and dad, were both Sunday school teachers for many years. For me, though, kind of the impact where things really began in my life was in middle school. Seventh grade was when things really turned in my life, and really, I think it was a lot to do with our youth group leader. He was very intentional with us. When we would meet, I think it was Tuesdays or Wednesday nights, we'd meet once a week for our youth group. It was more than just, let's kind of go through our lesson, let's, you know, read the Bible, we'll kind of ask some questions. I mean, he would ask very thought-provoking questions, always wanted to know where we were. He wanted to instill in us the foundation of our faith so that we could be equipped to go out and share that. And so a lot of the times, what I really liked, and I think what was so impactful for me, is on the weekends, a lot of times Saturday mornings, he would go, he had a big van, and so he can fit, there's about five or six of us in the youth group, and we'd usually go out Saturday mornings, we'd go paintballing, he was into paintballing, had a lot of gear, and so we'd just drive out to the desert or into the middle of the woods somewhere, and we'd do free paintballing, and if we didn't do that, we did a lot of disc golfing, also known as frisbee golfing. He was a big fan of disc golfing. And so we did a lot of that in the mornings, and then usually what would end up being in that night is we'd go to a place that was a really popular area for people to hang out, whether it was young people, middle school, high school, to families. The place that really comes to mind is this place called Birch Street, and it was this tiny little street that had two movie theaters on it. It had some restaurants. It had some coffee shops. It had a little ice cream parlor. And so it was a really popular place for people to gather. So a lot of times we'd end our days going there, and we would share the gospel. We would just walk around, and we would ask people if we can pray for them, ask people if they knew Jesus. And we were 12 years old, 13 years old. And it didn't feel, we never felt pressured to do it. You know, Tony Cermak, he was our leader. He never forced us to do anything. He never pressured it. It kind of came naturally. He just expected us to live out this faith, and he led by example. He showed us what it looked like, and so he created these opportunities that we could go serve. And one of the things that really stood out, you know, so we'd try to go to the same place almost every Saturday night, and there was a week where we missed it. I don't think we can gather. We were all maybe busy or whatnot, and we had met this guy. His name was Chris. He was a homeless man. He lived in his car, and we called him Cowboy Chris. He wore shorts, cowboy boots, T-shirt and a cowboy hat, and he had this huge beard, and we called him Cowboy Chris, and he was an awesome guy. And the first time we met him, we asked him if he knew Jesus. He said that he did grow up in the church, and that at some point he kind of walked away, and that was it. And so we had a really good conversation with him. We asked if we could pray for him. He loved that. The following week, when we were there, we saw Cowboy Chris again, and just asked him how he was doing. Then the week we missed. We didn't go there 1 week. The following week we went back, and he was there, and he said, "Hey, where were you guys at last week?" And we're like, "Oh, sorry, Chris, you know, we're busy, we couldn't make it." And, you know, a little into the conversation, I think Tony, our leader, had asked him, "You know, where are you actually staying at?" And he says, "Oh, I actually live, you know, I park and kind of camp pretty far from here, but I was just driving through that 1 week and I met you guys, and it just, I wanted to know God when I heard the gospel from you guys." And so he said, "I come here every Saturday because this is my church." And this is, I mean, we're 12 years old, we're 13 years old. We're not really knowing what we're doing, but we know, okay, God calls us to go out and to share the gospel. And so our leader really poured that into us. And so that was really big for me and a really impactful moment in my life. And I remember one day he sat us down and he asked, "Hey, you know, where do you guys see yourselves when you're older? What do you want to be doing?" And up until this point, I either wanted to be, even though growing up in a ministry-based family, I never thought about being a pastor and never really wanted to pursue ministry like that. I wanted to be a cop or I wanted to be a Marine. Those were the two things that I wanted to be. And it wasn't until middle school when I just felt this is what I want to do the rest of my life. I want to tell people about Jesus. And so I remember going around and I said that. I said, "I want to be, you know, in the ministry of some sort. I want to be a pastor, whatever that may look like. I just know I want to tell people about Jesus." Going into high school, things changed. This is when things kind of went downhill and went the opposite direction for my life. We didn't really have, it was a big church. We probably had 200-300 kids in the high school. And I don't know what it was, but we just didn't have the leaders that were as intentional as Tony was for our group. And so freshman year, I remember my group of friends, we just felt off. We went into high school so excited to continue to do what we've been doing. And then it was almost like we can miss a Sunday. Nobody would know. Nobody would really care if we were there or not. We didn't have anybody pouring into us. Nobody wanted to take us or go out and share the gospel anymore. It was, I don't know, we're kind of losing interest. And so freshman year, that's kind of what that was like. Sophomore year, it continued to grow and to, why are we here? What are we doing here? And then junior year, so about 17 years old, 16, 17 years old is when I kind of, me and my friends, there's about five or six of us that were in that youth group together, kind of said, you know, we don't need to be in the church. We can still pursue Jesus, but we don't need to be in the church. And so we began to not go to church anymore. And so over the next probably 7 or 8 years, that was my life. I wasn't really involved in the church. And kind of as years began to go, I wasn't really even reading scripture anymore. I wasn't praying. And my life took, was going downhill, was not going good. And I remember probably around 23 years old is when I was really getting into, I was just very depressed, really had no desire to live anymore. And I remember sitting down and praying one night, and I just remember, I don't know what it was, what led me to this thought, but I was thinking, man, 10 years ago, I wanted to be a pastor. 10 years ago, I was living my life for Jesus at 12 or 13 years old. What happened? And I remember praying, and I didn't hear this audible voice of God. You know, it wasn't like a burning bush type of moment, but I did hear very clearly these words going through my mind. "Charles, you wanted to live like a fool, and so you lived like a fool. I have a plan for you. You need to follow me." And I remember, I mean, I just, as I'm praying and I'm silent in prayer and I'm hearing this, I just remember crying. I got chills. Okay, Lord, let's do this. This is where it's changing. And at this time, so about 23 years old, my family had moved to Texas. So they had moved from California to Texas. My cousin had planted a church out there. And so after he'd planted a church, the rest of my family kind of followed him. So I was the last one there. And so the next day, my uncle had called me and said, "Hey, how can we get you to Texas? What do we got to do?" And I remember just saying, "Okay, Lord, this is you. This is the assurance that I was feeling in my heart that you're changing things. You're pulling me out of this toxic environment that I put myself in. This is it." And so I said, "Well, I don't really know what that looks like. I have rent, I have bills, I have things I need to take care of." And he said, "What is the dollar amount? What do you need?" So I told him, I said, "Okay, I'm going to transfer that money to your account right now. When can you get to Texas?" 2 weeks later, I moved to Texas. And that's when things were really changing and put me in the trajectory of where I am now. And for the first 3 months of living in Texas, I moved in with my parents, and I didn't really try to get a job right away. It was really that 3 months was, I was in scripture. I was in scripture every day. I was in my room, and I would just read God's word, and I'd be praying And even though I had this desire and this passion at 12 or 13 years old, I feel like I didn't fully know God's Word. And when I would try to read it over the years, it didn't really stick with me. I couldn't get it. I couldn't understand it. Well, now, this was different. I was reading it, and I was understanding it, and I was had this desire for it. I mean, I would try to tell myself, read two verses a day. And I'd be reading chapters. I'm like, I can't close this book. This is good stuff. What was I doing all these years not reading this? And so things began to change. God was really working in my heart. And then after the 3 months, I kind of got a job. And my grandpa, when he had moved to Texas, he had retired from being a pastor. So that allowed him to move and follow the rest of my family. And I actually lived pretty close. We lived in the same town. So probably about for the next year or so, probably about 2 to 3 days a week, I'd get to meet with my grandpa, and we'd have coffee, we'd just read scripture. We'd go through, verse by verse, book by book, and I would just get to listen to him. And a little background on him, like I said, he was a church planter through Calvary Chapel. He was mentored and ordained by Chuck Smith. I don't know if any of you are aware of Chuck Smith and in his ministry with Calvary Chapel. So he kind of grew up in that. Was even under Chuck Swindoll for a while, serving at EV Free Church. And so he was around a lot of wise men who knew the Word of God and who acted in that. And so my grandpa's a very wise man. And so being able to spend, a year straight, 2-3 days a week getting to sit with him, it was almost like a little bit of seminary for me. I mean, I would just sit and I would just listen. I'd ask questions. And, he already had it planned out. I remember the first time I met, I was like, all right, we'll read a few verses, kind of talk about it. I mean, he had it all. Okay, this is what we're going to read today. We're going to read this tomorrow. We're going to go through this. And I'm like, all right, this is good. I was loving it. And so I did that for about a year, and then I started to serve in the church, in the local church that I was at. I was like, okay, it was kind of a good foundational year of transferring me from this toxic lifestyle I was living to a year later now. I've just been every single day in God's Word, in prayer, and just how He radically has just changed my life. So then I started serving in the church, and I was serving in a men's discipleship group. And then we started going on mission trips, and so went to Nicaragua, went to Honduras, and got to see some amazing things, got to see God work in miraculous ways that it was really a blessing, and I can probably talk for another hour on those experiences. After that, so kind of fast forward a little bit, after that I ended up moving across Dallas, and I moved in with my cousin who originally went out there to plant the church. So I moved in with him and his wife. And for the next year or so living with him, that was another big impact in my life because I got to really examine and kind of be a part of what a godly marriage looks like. I got to see just the grace, the desire and the willingness to be honest and to be vulnerable and to what it looks like to submit in that. And so that was a big impact for me. And what their church really kind of preached on and what they, I feel like, did really well is community. They were a community. They were a body. And how they operated together, and they were active in the community and kind of evangelizing. And so I kind of got back into that. It was kind of, that was really big when I was, in middle school. And so this was kind of coming back around of like, God, this is what I feel like, you're working in my heart again to evangelize. And so around this time as well, living in Dallas, this is when I met my wife now. A lot of you might remember or know her as Rebecca Mildes, now Rebecca Cano. And so I had met her, and probably about 6 or 7 months of talking, we knew the direction this was going, that marriage was what we were looking for and what we were pursuing. And so then needed to make the decision, all right, we need to be in the same community and need to grow together. So that's what then brought me to Washington. And so after that move is when we got married and then started serving in Awana. So this is now my third year serving in Awana, first year as the director of Awana, and as well earlier this year I was serving in the youth group at the church we were attending, Northview Bible Church. And a lot this year, I would say the past few years, it's been really wrestling with, okay, what does ministry look like? I know we as Christians, we are called to make disciples, right? The Great Commission. We are called to make disciples. We are called to evangelize. We are called to share our faith. So what does it look like to pursue full-time pastoral ministry to just me walking daily with the Lord and sharing that? And so I was wrestling with that for a few years. I would say feeling called to pastoral ministry, but I don't know. I just wouldn't pursue it because I'm like, well, I'm just a Christian. I should be doing this anyways. And sleepless nights, just wrestling over years after years. And so finally, the beginning of this year, Beck and I, we were talking and we just said, you know what? You've been kind of saying no to this for a while and you're still wrestling with it. It's still heavy on your heart. What if we just said yes? Let's just see what happens if we just say, Lord, we're just going to do it. We're going to see what it looks like. And so I began to take some classes online with Calvary Chapel's online Bible school. And kind of through there, just how things have kind of worked themselves out, some opportunities that have presented themselves, have really, the most previous class I took was a youth ministry class. And it really got me thinking and desiring youth ministry. And one of the things we were studying and were overlooking was statistically, and there's a lot of different organizations who have studied this, and the percentage isn't exact. So I'd say it's probably anywhere from like 50 to maybe 65%, depending on which article you're reading, which organization did the study. But it's a, let's just say 60% of students from 17 to 19 years old drop out of the church. And so to me, it was like, what is wrong? What are we doing? And I know every church kind of operates differently, but I think together in a whole, I looked back at my high school experience. That's kind of around the age where I dropped out. For me, what was the difference between how much I loved it in middle school and then what led me to dropping out in high school was I wasn't held accountable. I didn't feel like I was a part of the church anymore. And so I feel like that is something that is missing is, doesn't matter what age you are, you're the hands and feet of the church. You are the body. And to teach and to lead with, we expect you to live out what this looks like, to share the gospel. And so as a leader, and especially of youth, let's create opportunities to share the gospel. Let's create opportunities. Let's go to places and evangelize. And what does that look like? And to really, you know, a lot of times you get in those situations and someone asks the question, well, how do you know for certain that your God's the God, you know, the one true God? I don't know, kind of get thrown off. And maybe, you know, I want to go back and know my scripture a little bit more so I can come back in confidence and say, well, actually, I want to share this with you. And so I think evangelizing in a way does kind of teach you in those, when you get to those difficulties, and we don't know all the answers, and I don't know all the answers, but a lot of times if I'm asked with a question I don't know the answer to, I then want to say, you know what, I want to read and I want to try to study up and I want to come back to you with an answer. And so a lot of the times it comes back to reading our Bibles more, praying more, our community, sharing with each other, okay, this is what I'm getting, and you know, iron sharpening iron. And so that's a little bit of where my heart is for ministry is, okay, how do we make and how do we implement this desire and this knowing for youth that you are a part of the church so things don't change, that you aren't, it isn't daycare, you aren't just here so you, while your parents are at big church. You are the church. You are gifted in different ways, and there's going to be different ways to use that gifting. And so let's, how do we unravel it now, and how do we strengthen and equip in that now? So as years come on, you're more ready and ready to get out there. It's a little bit of kind of what I wanted to say today. Got to talk just a little bit of where I'm at and kind of my heart for youth ministry and my vision for ministry. And so now I think at this time, if we're doing any questions, if anybody has any questions, not too hard of questions, like Rob said. I think he was joking with that. Yeah.
No, I wasn't joking. No, not joking. Kind of. Yeah. No, this is your opportunity to ask what you need to know. How long have you been married?
So we are actually, we just hit a year and a half.
Year and a half? Okay.
Just, yeah, like this week.
Good. How old are you?
I am 29 years old.
29. Mm-hmm. Ripe age. Can you stay there? Can you just?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We sure am. Good.
Now, what we want to do is make sure you're heard, your questions are heard, so we're going to bring a mic around.
I can't remember what my question was. As a member of, I'm a team member on Showers of Blessings. I was wondering when the baby's due.
The baby's, yes, the due date is for April 19th. Yes, absolutely.
Very good. Questions?
This is actually for Rob. Do you just want him on staff because he plays disc?
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, that's a bonus.
That's a bonus.
Plus, I like the way he waxes his head, too.
Yep.
That's that and his, he's seriously tatted up, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I want to say I'm good at disc golf, so if that was part of it, once you see me play, You might think differently.
Hi, my name is Mike. I'm obviously part of Chatteroy Church. I have a question. What is your vision for, let's just say, the future, the next couple of years or your first year?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing, too, with youth ministry, and this would be a first time of actually being an official, like, youth pastor, youth director, but at least through things that I've been studying for on this and have just talked with others in a similar field, is one thing with youth ministry is it's changing. It's changing every 4 years. You are getting new people in. And so there is, I wouldn't say a set pattern that you need to constantly be working on, relying on. Whatever work these 4 years might change the next 4 years. As well as one thing that's very discouraging, I think it was youth pastor is like the fastest turnover rate in the church staff position. And one of those things is, I think, is you want to see, a sudden change right away. And so the first things first is I think Matt has done a great job of already starting something. To my understanding, his youth group wasn't here, right? You started the youth group when you came here. And so already to where they're at now, I think has been flourishing pretty good. But I think the first thing is the basics, understanding our faith, understanding our identity. I think in my class, I had to write for my final project, I had to write principles of what the youth ministry would look like. And that was like the first principle I wrote down is our identities in Christ. And so I think it was the first fundamental thing is this is who we are. This is who Christ is. And so to really kind of harp on that at first and get the foundational understandings of our faith. And so that would be kind of the first beginning thing is let's start with that and let's see where we're at and then kind of see growth from there. And yeah. Thank you.
One of the things that we had, should you decide to vote next week and have Charles be a part of the church, be the youth director, the deacons have set aside a little money to help pay for him to spend some extra time in December because Matt leaves on December 31st. Charles would start, should he be voted on January 1st, and we wanted to have a better transition time. We're just thankful to God that he brought Charles to us early enough so that there can be a transition time rather than trying to break somebody in after Matt's let, you know what I mean, having a gap there. So we think it's kind of providential that Charles is here and he can actually spend some time in December working with the kids and Matt together in a time of transition. We think that's pretty cool. Bill.
The position you're coming into is a part-time position, so you'd be bivocational. Mm-hmm. What is that other vocation?
Oh, I'm sorry, what was that?
What else do you do?
What else do I do? So, yeah, the other company I'm currently working for full-time right now is a company called Able Label. We make labels for really anybody who needs labels. A lot of them are manufacturing companies or pharmaceutical companies, fastener companies. And so I oversee, my main job description is I oversee our online sales, kind of the whole website ordeal. And this isn't really part of my description, but it's kind of just been given to me. So I handle like all the customer complaints, all the escalations. So that's really a big part of my job is I get to deal with all the fun stuff. So that's what I'm doing right now. And then I know transitioning that if this were to work out, I would be part-time there as well as part-time here.
Well, customer complaints, that puts you in good shape to work for the church.
Yeah, right.
You already know me, Charles.
I sure do.
Myself. What's your personal goal, say, for the next 5 years? Where do you want to be?
That's a great question. I want to be even closer to Jesus than I am now. I want to be more knowledgeable in the Bible. I want to be, hopefully can be used as a tool and as an instrument to pour into the students' lives, to be somebody like me. I will always remember who Tony Cermak is. I never look at Tony Cermak as, oh, he's Jesus. But no, he was somebody who God put in my life and really directed me and showed me and created opportunities for me to serve. And what does that look like? And so I don't know if I'll ever be that kind of guy, like Tony was to me. But, yeah, that's something I would like to be 5 years from now looked at as somebody that was able to create opportunities and hopefully be able to pour in and create something even with the volunteers that we pour into the students, so they don't ever feel like, if I miss a Sunday, people won't know that. I don't want that to ever be the case.
Well, now, ministry-wise, mm-hmm. how long are you projecting to stay in the ministry as a youth director or pastor, whatever it leads to?
Yeah. Don't want it to be like a cliche kind of thing, but if, I mean, forever as long as God wants me there. I don't have a set of, I know this is where I need to be. I think a big thing of ministry that I feel is discipleship. So really, at whatever age that is, I feel called to just help disciple. And so, and like I said, one of the things that really stuck out to me in my previous class was seeing such a high percentage of students dropping out of the church from, 17, 19 years old. And so to me, I'm like, God, how can you use me in this? And so I don't have really a set time of 10 years I'm going to be done with youth pastor. If God wants me as youth pastor for as long as I'm here, then amen. God, I want to say yes to whatever you're calling me to do.
Good answer.
How do you see discipleship, Charles? When you talk about discipleship, what goes through your mind, or how do you picture that?
Yeah, I think it's relational. I think it's building a trustful relationship. I think it's, especially for the one who's being discipled, to trust the person who's discipling them, to be diligent and kind of set an example of what does it look like. This is what it looks like to be disciplined in reading Scripture. This is what it looks like as well to share our faith. And so one of those things is, yes, a part of it is kind of like a classroom kind of setting. We're going to study the Bible. We're going to understand, the basics of our faith. But I think a lot of it is what we see what Jesus did with the disciples is, we're going to go out and we're going to do this. We're going to read it, and then we're also going to go out and do it. We're going to live it out. And so I think discipling is creating those opportunities for them to serve, and as well as putting on there, not in a forceful or in a way to pressure it, but you're a part of the church. And I feel like there's just a difference that makes a big difference in any of us when we do feel that we are a part of the church. And so I would say it really starts with the relation aspect of it.
Sounds good. Any other questions, comments, thoughts?
My grandkids are in high school, and one of the things I see, especially with the girls, is, my best friend doesn't go anymore, or I don't like those other people. It's not fun, and that's not the focus, but it's so important to girls to be bonded together and then have that focus on Jesus. I mean, we want their focus on Jesus first, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter whether your best friend goes, but mm-hmm. how do you deal with that kind of stuff? Teenagers are so vulnerable, and mm-hmm. yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. The way I feel like I would answer that, kind of just putting myself in that shoes, is what I've seen is when the leader is also vulnerable and can share, this is who I really am. Yes, I am. My identity is in Christ. I'm a saint. I'm a part of the royal priesthood of Christ. But I still sin. And that still is going to be thing. There's still going to be some struggles there on this side of the cross, on this side of eternity. And so I think when, from a student point of view, even growing up in the church, I remember for me, as I kind of got into high school, I would feel ashamed of certain things. Like, I didn't know my Bible as well as I probably should have growing up in the church. And so I felt ashamed to be honest about that. I felt ashamed to be real, because I'm like, I've been a Christian my whole life. I can't say I sin, because I didn't really have the best understanding of it still. And so I think, as leaders, and the not just the youth pastor, but even the leaders who, the volunteer leaders, can kind of be vulnerable and practice that of, this is who we are. I think that creates more of a space for the students to kind of say, okay, this is real. And I remember in Awana specifically, just a few weeks ago when we broke down, and I had shared something with the boys in my group, and instantly, I mean, they just, their jaws dropped, like, whoa, you've experienced that too? And they just started pouring out and going off. I'm like, okay, I'm not ready for all this, guys. No, just kidding. No, but it was good. And it started with me opening up of, hey, I can relate. This is who I am. I'm not perfect. And so I think if there's at least that is made pretty clear, I think that brings more comfort. But more specifically to answer your question is, yeah, a hard balance of having kind of fun, but then really getting in the gospel. And I don't know if sometimes it's easy, and as humans, one of the things we struggle with is trying to make new ways to be more relatable. I do think that if we just stick to God's word, that it will do enough, that it will plant the seeds. And right, God does the growing. And so I don't want to focus too much on, okay, it's my responsibility for growth, but it's my responsibility to plant some of the seeds, right? Paul said that he planted, Apollos, he watered, and God does the growing. And so I was actually just reading an article the other day, this pastor saying that a pastor should, when he plants his seeds, he needs to get home and get rest, that it isn't, don't worry about the growing aspect. And so I think if we take that in prayer, I mean, pray diligently, Lord, I mean, intervene in these kids' hearts. I mean, you know, rescue them from where they're at and make it clear of who you are. So I think praying is a big thing of that I don't ever want to undermine. Praying is one of the most important things we can do as Christians. And so, yeah, that would be one prayer, and just being more vulnerable as leaders to hopefully create that space of comfort and being who they are.
Before I get Sue, we have a question about the difference between a youth pastor and a youth director. And the primary thing is having to do with experience and education. And it's a youth director is one who is directing the youth but is gaining an experience in education. The youth pastor is one who is given extra church duties, overall duties, and more in a pastoral function. So there's a difference primarily of education and experience. So, Sue.
Have you had much experience with kindergarten through sixth grade kids?
No, not as much experience with the younger. Yeah, most of my experience in serving has been middle school is the lowest, and then a lot of high school, and then some young adult as well, like college. College group is more experience. High school, college, I would say.
Okay, this is a good one for you. I have a special needs granddaughter, okay, that wants to go to a youth group so bad she can taste it. But I won't let her go because I don't know how she would interact.
Mm-hmm.
Could you handle something like that?
Yeah, a little kind of story. When I lived in Texas, one of the first jobs, so after, you know, I said the first few months living there, I didn't have a job. I was kind of just focusing on the Bible and reading that and kind of being, you know, this reborn as a Christian. But then my first job I took that I got was a school bus driver. And before I became official on that, I was actually a helper on a special needs bus. And so then after I did become a driver and was driving, I'd have a morning route where I would drive some of the special needs students who couldn't be with other students. They had to be more isolated. And so that was like my morning route first with that. And as far as experience with special needs, that's probably the closest I've had. But that's something I would not want to turn away and say, oh, no, we can't have this. I mean, very much so, absolutely. And if that means I need to do more studying and I need to be more educated, then that's what I would do. And then it would be great to get with the volunteer, with the other leaders as well and say, okay, how do we do this? And then to partner with the parents. I think that's a big thing with working with the youth is ultimately partnering with the parents and partnering with the families. But yeah, that would be something that we'd absolutely love to have them there and on our side. And what can we do to make that more easier, more comfortable?
Quite often we set goals for programs. Question to you is, how would you know if youth ministry is successful?
That's a good question. Yeah, well, I think the first obvious one is, okay, is the following week, does everybody come back? I think if everybody's gone, then okay, we're gonna change things up a bit, kind of miss something. No, but all seriousness, like I said, for my life too, it wasn't just an overnight thing. But I think you kind of get to tell, okay, is there an interest? And are we getting the gospel out there? And are the people, the students that we're sharing the gospel with, are they grasping? Are they understanding that? And I feel like that in itself is really what draws them. And with youth ministry, yeah, I mean, like I said, this is my third year in Awana. And there's times when I've been a lot of teaching, when I've been that, I kind of walk away and I'm like, okay, I don't think I did a good job. I think I blew that. And, you know, I'm starting to hear a lot of stuff from this year from some of the students saying, like, I'm thankful for what you've been saying these last few years. And I'm like, I never would have thought that. I've kind of, maybe my own mind or my own thoughts trying to discourage me has been thinking other words. But so I think over the years when you get kind of that feedback, it takes a little bit for it to grow. And so not to be discouraged if year one, if there isn't this huge growth, like a spiritual growth individually, but to continue to pray and continue to say, God, I'm going to continue to do this. I'm going to always fall back on the main thing I'm going to always be preaching is the gospel. I mean, that's what I know the best. And I wouldn't say I'm far educated to be teaching on anything else other than that. And so if each week, and this is what I tell the students in Awana, what you're probably going to hear from me every single week is the gospel. And that's what I'm always going to rely on is the gospel. And so if I don't see, you know, immediate spiritual growth, it's continue to pray and continue to preach the gospel. And again, God does the growing. And then, yeah, kind of where I started off, if people don't come back, then I need to change some things. That was a big one. Yeah.
Do you have experience with, and would you continue to develop volunteer leaders? And do you have kind of an age category of how young is too young or how old is too old?
Yeah. I mean, starting off with that one, I would say the only age limit on there that would be too young. I mean, if we're in high school, probably wouldn't have, or junior high, wouldn't have anybody younger than that, or maybe even roughly in that same age group. Some people might even kind of differ on, okay, well, what if first year graduating, could they come back and be a volunteer leader in high school? Potentially. I think that's more of a case-by-case kind of thing, and it would be more of not a leader of their own group, but maybe kind of assisting, okay, maybe for the next 2-3 years you're going to be like a co-leader and kind of get to see more hands-on what that looks like, and then when that opportunity comes, then be an official leader. But then, I mean, age limit, no, not at all. I think one thing I've heard is if you don't really know where to serve in ministry, just start somewhere, and then you'll know if you're called in that side of ministry or not. So if somebody says, hey, I would like an opportunity, once you kind of sit down and get to know them a little bit more, but then yeah, I'd like to present that opportunity. I never want to try to prevent people from serving. And then from there, I think they'd say, okay, I like serving with the youth, or maybe I don't like serving with the youth, and then we kind of know from there. And then, yeah, as far as volunteer groups, more, I guess, the experience I've had is when I've been on mission trips, I've been kind of would lead a group in that and going out into some random village and then kind of trying to, okay, prep for the day. This is what it looks like, and this is what our mission for the day is, and we're going to kind of, you know, you guys go out this way, and we're going to, you know, meet back up at this time kind of thing. And then just briefly, I mean, this year is being the director of Awana, kind of, you know, overseeing the leaders that volunteer with that is kind of the only experience I really have.
Is Miss Becca going to be helping you out in the ministry?
Yeah, I mean, I think even if she's not there in person on youth group nights, very much she is helping me in ministry. She is my wife, and she very much does a wonderful job of encouraging me at home and keeping me accountable too. I think I've shared with the elders of, you know, a lot of times before teaching a lesson at Awana's, kind of the more freedom I've had to teach, she can kind of say, okay, what are you going to talk about tonight? I'll say, oh, this is what I'm going to do. And she's like, okay, you didn't really study that much, did you? You know, she really keeps me accountable, you know, and it's good. I mean, she's very honest, but she knows what it looks like when I am putting in the work, and she knows that it's honestly, it's genuine, and it's to preach the gospel. And so at times when maybe I've just been too busy and I've maybe put it off for the last day or so to try to study, she'll know, and then she'll just don't do that, you know. And so very much so, if she's not there in person on youth group nights, she's very much helping me in ministry at home.
Is there times, though, when she'll be there with you? Or
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, definitely, especially when the little child's here and going to have, yeah, them running around a youth group or something, having fun. Yeah, definitely. I mean, when we first got married, even prior to that, we talked about how we both had our hearts to actually be missionaries. And so one thing, you know, even with having kids, if we ever went on a mission trip, I mean, we're going to be a family that lives on mission together. And in our everyday life, wherever we're at, we're going to live on mission. And so if we are called to another country, we will be there as a family serving together. So I never want to exclude my kids from ministry.
Good. Debbie's my most honest person with me, especially when it comes to my breath. And you need somebody like that in your life, don't you?
Amen. You sure do.
Are there any other questions? All right. Charles, thank you, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Charles, what, you're going to hang around and have some snacks or something?
Absolutely.
Good.
Yes.
Good. So if you have any other questions, you want to get to know him a little bit more, let's do that. Could you join me in closing in prayer here? Lord, we thank you for Charles and Becca. And, Lord, we just ask the best for them in their future, whatever that is. Lord, would you lead us in the vote next week and us going forward as far as youth and other pastoral opportunities here. Lord, thank you for your love for us and your grace for us. Lord, help us to live and soak in that and give that to others. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.